We're going to continue our series on yes, exploring how God is saying yes to us. I think later on we're going to get around to us saying yes to God, but right now we're focusing on his big yeses to us. And today I want to talk about God saying, yes, I hear you. That's better. The heart of prayer is not just about trying to ask God for things and try to get something from him. The heart of prayer is about relationship and getting close to him and him getting close to us, getting to know him and him getting to know us. Judy and I were reading a book. That's Bill Johnson's book, isn't it? Yeah, on the way in this morning. And it's talking about God knowing us, being known by God. And at first we thought, well, God knows everything. Of course he knows us. But does he? Does he know all those hidden parts that we've tried to just keep bottled up, pretending he doesn't see them? Isn't that stupid? But, you know, really getting to know each other. I knew Judy long before we started dating. We had a mutual friend, and so we were friends. So I knew her. Well, did I? Then we started dating. And now, okay, now I know her. And then we got married. Okay, we've been together over 50 years, and we're still getting to know each other. Back to this, is God listening? Does he hear me? Well, yeah, he does. But is he listening to me personally? Well, let's look at Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, you know and understand all the hopes of the humble and will hear their cries and comfort their hearts, helping them all. That was written by David, the man after God's own heart, who had been going through a lot of difficult times when he uttered those words. This scripture and others tell us that God is listening, and he really does hear our prayers. And in one sense, he answers all of them. But maybe not exactly the way we want it. And it's probably a good thing. When we ask God for something, sometimes we'll hear a yes. Oh, that's the good ones. Sometimes we hear no. I didn't say God said no. I said we heard no. We have to train our ears to hear him. Then there's other times when he says, wait, time's not right yet. It just could be that we don't know all the ramifications of what we've asked for. And sometimes we just need to listen. But you can rest assured that what Paul stated, what Sandy started this series with, and what Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 1:19 is true. Listen to it carefully. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is Paul speaking, and he has never been both a yes and a no. He has always been and always will be a resounding yes. So how come we hear no? If he said yes. We're going to explore that a little bit. God says yes to those requests that are in accordance with his will, for sure, and with his timing. I know that's kind of vague and doesn't fill you with a lot of hope, and we'll try to break it down for you a little bit as we go along here. Let's jump over to John 14, verses 13 and 14. It's about as clear as can be. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. There's an awful lot in this verse. I could spend an hour on this verse. But ask anything you will in my name. What does that mean? Well, I've heard lots of things about it. You know, it means asking his character and so on and so forth. Because it doesn't mean, God, give me a red Ferrari, and I'm going to go out in the parking lot, and there's one sitting there. I missed the key trick. God, give me a red Ferrari in Jesus' name. Right? You got to put that "in Jesus' name" sticker on the end. No, that's not it either. Asking in his name is, it's not a matter of just tacking that "in Jesus' name" on the end. And we can't just treat our faith walk like some mystic walk in the woods and think that God is this cosmic Santa Claus obligated to grant every childish wish that we might have. It's not the way it works. Read your Bible, you know. Get to know who he is. Find out what his promises for you are in Scripture. Then we'll be in a better position to ask in his name. And his will for our lives will be revealed through those many promises in Scripture. So if we think we can just coast along and get this full understanding of God without spending time with him, spending time in his word, reading his promises, spending time with other believers, I want to warn you, there's an enemy out there just begging to whisper into your ear some half-truth. Not a bold lie, just a half-truth. Sounds pretty good, but just enough off the mark to cause you to take one step away from where you should be. And when he's got you to take that step, another half-truth. And here's another step. And another half-truth. And here's a step over here. Oh, that sounds good. Here's a step over here. And pretty soon, you turn around and where's God? He's pulled you clear over here. And if you're having trouble following that, how did it all start back in the Garden of Eden? What did the snake, the serpent, do to Eve? He told her a half-truth. His tricks are the same as they were from the beginning. He's not gotten any smarter. Unfortunately, sometimes neither have we. Like we said earlier, we need to read and study and meditate and pray and get to know Jesus and not just know about him, but really, really, really know him. We also need to spend time with other true believers. Let me illustrate. When I was a young country boy, mid to late summer, we'd go out along the edge of the yard where the field starts, and there'd be these Queen Anne's lace growing, a nice white flower. Y'all know what Queen Anne's lace is? You know what it really is? Wild carrot. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a weed. But they had this big, beautiful white flower on. So we'd cut them with long stems, bring them into the house, get some glasses of water, put some food dye in the water, and stick it down in there. And after a while, if it was in blue water, we'd get this blue flower. Or if we put it in the red water, we didn't get red, you got pink. It was a little diluted, but you get the picture. The flowers began to take on whatever they were soaking in. What are you soaking in? I was kind of intrigued when I was doing this illustration to think, a lot of people have been soaking in too much blue. And some of y'all been soaking in too much red. Not to get political or anything. We need to be careful what we're soaking in, what we're listening to, and what we're feeding our spirits on. by doing life with other believers, we get a more rounded picture of this whole thing. So when I see God working in your life and doing things in your life, then it encourages me in my life that he'll do the same stuff for me. And hopefully, when I tell you what he's done in my life, it encourages you. And we get a more rounded picture. We don't get this skewed image and become another Jim Jones taking a bunch of people off to feed them Kool-Aid. You know? That's how those things started. Isolation, and they get weird ideas. Stick with the flock. Stick with the people. The God's people. These people. It's one of the ways the church helps us to grow and mature. And as we do so, we start to soak up Christ. And then we display his colors. And I got news for you. They're not blue and they're not red. In fact, you know white is the sum of all colors. So if we start to see different colors, there's stuff missing. We need to get the other stuff. Continuing that scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll go to verses 20 to 22. This is from the Passion Translation. It's kind of long, so buckle in. For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him, and his yes and our amen ascend to God. We bring him glory. Sandy told us last week that that amen means so be it, or I agree, or let it be so. Okay? Now, it is God himself who has anointed us, and he is constantly strengthening both you and us in unison with Christ. That's the church. He knows we are his, since he has also stamped his seal of love over our hearts and has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. When I read that, the word I heard was relationship. God wants his bride. He's given her the ring, and the blessings are sure and promised and coming to pass. And oh, by the way, this is not just a when you die and in the sky by and by blessings. The blessings are meant for right here and right now. When Judy and I got engaged, I didn't start treating her nice. Wait till after we're married. Unfortunately, in many places, it goes the other way around. They treat you nice when you're dating, and then when you're married, it's like, oh, well. God's not like that, by the way. He treats you nice when you're engaged, and even better when you're married. In today's world, though, many churches are struggling to make a go of it. They see the congregation dwindling, and they're wondering, how are we going to keep the church afloat? And so they're resorting to a bunch of the surveys that are out there. There's people always doing surveys. Probably can't believe them any more than you can some of the political ones. But they've been listening to the surveys, and they've been reformulating their church. And unfortunately, a lot of them are getting this sweeter version of Christianity, hoping that they'll appeal to the people more. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to be able to speak to the needs of the people. We need to be relevant to the times, without a doubt. But make no mistake, although the methods may change, the message cannot. It's got to be true to Scripture. And if a church isn't true to the Scripture, run for your life. There's half-truths or outright lies going on. God is calling us back to the real thing. And I think people are tired of empty rituals, and they're searching for the real thing. the real thing. Sounds like a Coke commercial, doesn't it? Remember the Cola Wars of 1985? Coke was losing market share to Pepsi, not by much, just a partial percentage point each quarter, but it was driving them nuts. And so they conducted a taste test with over 200,000 customers to see what they like. And as a result of this taste test, they formulated a new Coke that was a little sweeter. Tasted more like Pepsi, in hopes that they could gain some of that market share back and get those kids back. Well, they didn't get what they expected. The loyal Coke drinkers were up in arms. So much so that tens of thousands of them started calling the Coke headquarters. Not the marketing line, headquarters. 1,500 calls a day demanding their Coke back. People were even buying cases of Coke and hoarding it in their basements. That's how committed they were. Well, the executives heard. 79 days later, Coke reintroduced the old formulation as Coca-Cola Classic. And the new Coke became known as Coke 2. Ah, this should work. Well, guess what? Now Coke's competing against themselves. And it wasn't long before Coke 2 just slowly disappeared from the market shelves in the U.S. I think you could still get it in some other countries, but not in the U.S., although I heard that they're trying to bring that back, and whatever for. Christians need to illustrate the real thing and not be presenting some generic gospel. We need to offer the world the real thing. Okay? We need to stand up and demand the real thing in our churches, in our society, in our government, in ourselves, in our families. And because our daily lives will get more in tune with the real thing, guess what? We'll hear yes from God more often to those requests because we won't be asking amiss. Sometimes we still hear no. Fact of life, folks. Sometimes you hear no. Only God can see the future and know the implications of what we desire and ask for. Garth Brooks once wrote a song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." And I'm sure we can all look back and say, yeah, good thing you didn't answer that one because I was all messed up. That would have wrecked me. Thanks for not answering that prayer. Even so, with this not hearing yes, sometimes it sounds like no, but I submit to you, it may not be no. In fact, if we read Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I'm not called according to his purpose for Roger or Todd. I'm called according to his purpose for Ron. I've hung my life on this verse, by the way. There have been some things that go on that I did not understand, but I've stood firm on my feet and said, God, I know that you work all things together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I love you. I'm trying to live my life according to your purpose. It's up to you to make this work together for my good. That's your job. I have been that blunt at times. I remember a time when the neighbors probably thought I was crazy because I was out mowing the yard and I'm giving him one of these. God, you said! And he let me rant and rave. He didn't holler at me. He didn't beat me down. He let me burn myself out. Then he said, yeah, I got you. It's okay. I know you're frustrated. It's okay. Remember Jesus out in a garden late at night asked to have this cup removed from me? Did he hear yes? Did God say, sure, I'll take that away from you, son? That's an awful lot to bear. No, he didn't. He didn't hear yes. Because he was committed. He said, not my will, but yours be done. And God answered that request with a yes to something greater. That he would redeem mankind and become our intercessor. That's the result of not giving up and listening to a yes to something better. Look at this scripture from Job 16, 19 to 21. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. That sound like Jesus? But this is Job. That's Old Testament. What's Jesus doing in the Old Testament? He's always been there. We just missed him. This isn't God, the Father, because he says he pleads with God as someone pleads for his friend. I just found it really interesting that we got this Old Testament peek into the New Testament fulfillment. How many more have I missed? Need to study more. Need to look more. Need to spend time more. Get to know who God really is. I think mankind had kind of blown it. And they got to thinking that God was this bully that wanted to ruin their happiness and take away all the good stuff and say no, 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 no to everything in their life. And they missed that he's the loving Father that wants a relationship. That's why Jesus came, to show us what the Father's really like. Remember, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I think what he was saying is, you've thought about this thing all wrong, folks. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Back to Jesus being our intercessor. John Wimber said, good news is that Jesus is praying for us. The bad news is you're going to need it. I know Jesus is praying for us. There's scriptural evidence that Jesus is praying for us. Look at this exchange between Jesus and Peter. This is the night before his crucifixion. I'm guessing that it's somewhere after they've had the Last Supper and they're on their way to the garden. Luke 22, 31 to 32. Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has demanded to come and sift you like wheat and to test your faith. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this. After you have turned back to me and been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. Oh, what? So in that prayer, in that conversation with Peter, Jesus said, you're about to blow it. I know. I'm about to restore you because I love you. And when I do, take care of your brothers. Make it your life's mission. I submit to you that God is saying to you, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. But I'm interceding for you. Yeah, you're going to blow it. I know that. But when you come back, make it your life mission to help your brothers. God sees what we cannot see. He sees the short-term and long-term implications of all our requests. Praise God that he sees and knows and desires what's best for his children. No, sometimes a pretty bitter pill to swallow. But how much worse would it be to get what we asked for that was only going to bring us heartbreak and destruction? Consider a no answer from God, not as a rejection, but a redirection to something better, to a bigger yes than no. Jesus is really like a life coach, not some cosmic vending machine for all your silly wishes. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Another long one. Buckle up. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way, lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you along and pull you along. Just come with me. That flows nice and poetic. But did you get the real meaning of what he's saying there? If not, let's look at it in a Message Bible. I like this. This is straight to the point. Same verse in a Message Bible. Let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you straight in the eye. Don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs a bridle and bit to get you to go where you're supposed to go. I probably messed that up, but you get the idea. That's what that's really saying. The intent is, I'm trying to help you. Quit fighting me. Come with me. Quit trying to go the other direction. I know what's best for you. You don't. Sometimes we hear yes. Sometimes we hear no. You've all likely seen those dramatic proposals where the poor bloke is out there, there's a big crowd, he's got the little box with the big ring, and he pops the question to the girl and expecting an excited yes. And I know some of you are hoping she says no just because you're nasty that way. But what if she's not ready to say yes? What if she needs some time to think about it? He didn't give her any time to think about it. He's put her on a spot out in the middle of a big crowd. I wouldn't have gotten away with that, I can tell you that. Sometimes God says, wait. Now, I know a guy that story happened to. Not the big crowd and the big ring, but big question nonetheless. He asked the girl to marry him and expecting a big hug and a kiss. What he got was, I need to think about it. for a couple days. Good news is she did say yes, and they've been married for going on 50 years. I know this is true, because I'm the guy. You didn't know I was going to say this. And don't throw rocks at her. She was smarter than I was. Because in those couple days, she thought about it. And I thought about it. You know, this was a big question. This isn't a, do you want to go to the movies kind of question. This is a big question. And she realized it, and I came to realize it. We're fixing to make the biggest decision of our lives. I got to tell you, when she came back and said yes, it was well thought out, cold-blooded. You think that's bad? No. I'm telling you, that's what love is. It's a cold-hearted, deliberate decision. I'm spending the rest of my life with this person. I might kill him. You know. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes. She said, wait. Can I think about it? Because it was important. And the timing wasn't right. And in that couple days, and we got to figure some things out, like some of the timing parts. Like, maybe you better finish college first and, like, get a job. That'd be a good idea. Living a life of faith means we may not know either the timing or the outcome of our prayers. We're called to remain active in our walk, steadfast in the knowledge of who holds the future, and live fully in the present. God sees above all the circumstances of life, and his timing is impeccable. Now remember Lazarus? Everybody thought Jesus was 4 days late. But he wasn't. He was right on time. And when he raised Lazarus from the grave, he was able to put God's wonderful power on display in front of the world. God will allow his children to wait until they're ready, the timing is right, or he's ready. We learn patience in the waiting. And when we finally get to that better yes, his glory is put on display with his perfect answer in perfect timing. So consider a wait, a time of preparation, and not a time of punishment. Psalm 27:14. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be waiting. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Hosea 12:6. What are you waiting for? Return to your God. Commit yourself in love, in justice. Wait for your God and don't give up, ever. Be encouraged. God really hears you. He really does. And if you need to hear more yeses and less nos and waits, there's 5 prayers that he will always answer yes. I'll go really quickly through these. Number 1, forgive me. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 2, reveal yourself to me. Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. Be their God, and they will be my people. How about number 3? Give me wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. How about number 4? Strengthen me to obey you. Philippians 2:12-13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And number 5, help me spread your gospel to the lost. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then will the end come. To recap, God's always listening to his children. Always. Always, always, always. He was listening when we heard yes. He was listening when we heard no, but it was really a yes to something better. And he was listening when we heard wait, which was really a yes for when the time was right. God always is and always will be to us a resounding yes. Let's pray. God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I praise you that I can count on your unfailing love and the perfect plans you have laid out for my life. Help me to grasp that you alone are God. You alone know what is best for your children. Lord, I ask you to increase my faith and my wisdom as I look to you with the full knowledge that your answer to my prayer is pure and perfect and always right on time. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, not as that stamp of you got to do it now, but in Jesus' name, because this lines up with his will.